Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Great to be with you. So excited about today. So excited to continue this series that we've been going over the last two Sunday mornings. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful opportunity to come together as like-minded Christians and remember the sacrifice. I thank you so much, Brother Steinle, for the way that you presented that to us. It's great for us to not only take the Lord's Supper in vain, but for us to remember the sacrifice and remember why we take it and remember what Jesus Christ did for each and every one of us. So grateful for the opportunity to stand before you this morning and continue this series. I want to remind you again what this series is and why we're doing it. It's called How Do Churches Grow? We started this two Sunday mornings ago, and we began this, well, because I was talking to the elders and I was asking them, what can we do that would benefit us as a group of Christians? And our leaders told us that, well, we are a growing church. We are someone that keeps wanting to do the will of God and spread the kingdom here in Jackson. So we need to know, how do churches continue to grow? But more importantly, how do we continue to grow like God wants us to grow? When we talk about church growth, we're talking corporately, all of us together. And we're not just wanting to grow as a church so that we can get more people in the seat so we can have just numbers. We're wanting to grow the way God would have us to with the Word of God. So two Sunday mornings ago, we started with how do churches grow? Well, they begin to grow by having a healthy church. What do we mean by having a healthy church? Well, health is all about standing on the Word of God. If a church expects to grow, they have to begin with healthy teaching. Not the teachings of men, not my opinions. Not the opinions of anyone in this room, but standing on the Word of God and teaching those things. Also having healthy activity amongst one another. Healthy relationships as a body of Christ. Remember, we are a family. And we should all work together and have love for one another. Last Sunday morning, we talked about evangelism as a team effort. We talked about the evangelism is not just for the preacher. It's not just for the elders. It's not just for one or two of you that are really ambitious that want to go out and spread the gospel. No, the Word of God tells us that evangelism is for each and every one of us. It even actually tells us that there's different roles. We don't all have to be teachers. There's so many different things that we can do as a body of Christ to grow and spread the Word where we live. This Sunday morning, I want us to continue this series by talking about, do we expect to grow? Do we expect to grow? Today we're going to talk about our attitudes. All about attitudes. Do we actually believe it? Think about that question. Just I'm going to pause for a minute. Do we expect to grow as a church? I like to think about this and ask the question. How important is it in your thinking, in your attitude, when you're trying to accomplish a goal? Especially when we try to achieve or reach a challenging goal. For example, of course, I like sports, so I think about this in the sports world. I think, you know, when athletes are coached up, they're told to think about finishing strong. They're told to think about crossing the finish line before they ever start the race. In football, of course, my favorite sport, in football, players are coached up and they're told, before you ever catch a ball, you're to mentally think about catching the ball and running for the touchdown. That way, when the game starts, it's nothing, you know, crazy and new. You've already thought about it, and you have a positive attitude that you're going to go out there and do it. Same with the running back. You're told to be coached up and envision yourself, taking the handoff, find the holes, and run for the touchdown. That way, when the time comes for that opportunity, it's nothing new. You're ready to do that. I'll give you another example. Another example of positive thinking is in self-help circles, self-help groups. Whether you're trying to lose weight, recover from some trauma in life, or break an addiction, the literature all says the same thing. It talks about your self-talk. And self-talk is basically your thinking and attitude toward yourself. Whether you're trying to overcome some trauma or break an addiction, it's about what you tell yourself. If you don't tell yourself you can do it, you're never going to do it. What about people that say, well, I'm just dumb. I'm never going to be able to learn that. I was born this way. I'm never going to be able to learn it. What do you know? People that say that to themselves, they never learn. What about the people that say to themselves, well, I don't deserve a second chance. I've done so many bad things in my life. You know what? I deserve to have this addiction. I deserve to continue to think about this trauma and to continue to have this weight because I don't deserve any better. What do you know? When you think that way, you never overcome whatever you're trying to break, whatever trauma you're trying to get over. What about what the Bible tells us about positive thinking? Right here on before us on the screen, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. As he thinks in his heart, so he is. So he is. It's all about our attitude. Do we expect to grow as a church? Do we expect to help more people, more lost souls be saved through the Word of God? We already read 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to read that one more time. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to read verses 3, 4, and 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You know what these verses are telling us? These verses are telling us that there is a war going on right now. You may not know it because it's not of this world, but there is a war, a battle going on right now for your soul, for my soul. The enemies of Christ would love nothing more than to get some doubt in our head. They would love nothing more for us to start saying, we can't grow as a church. There's nothing more we can do. We have lacked faith that God's Word can help. We lack faith that anybody actually cares about hearing the Word of God. So we just think, well, where we're at is where we're at. We can't grow. Nobody wants to hear the Word of God. Sometimes it's even our own attitudes. It doesn't have to be the enemies. It doesn't have to be Satan getting into our head. Sometimes it's our own negative thinking. Our own negative thoughts will tell us, nobody cares about the gospel anymore. Nobody wants to hear me talk about God. Nobody wants to read the Bible anymore. And we start to doubt everything and we think that we can't grow or that nobody else wants to be a Christian. This all pertains to how do churches grow. And I think we need to explore this morning our attitudes. Explore the things in the Bible that teach us about our positive attitudes and some of our negative attitudes and how to correct them. So oftentimes we intellectually, we all understand as Christians that sure, if I take the Word of God to someone, that the church will grow, but not in our hearts. In our hearts we feel like nobody cares. Nobody wants to hear me. Nobody wants to hear the Word of God. When that starts to happen, what do you know? The church will stop growing. It doesn't matter what size you are either. It doesn't matter if you have 30 people as a group, 100 people, 500 people. As soon as you start negatively thinking that the Word of God can grow, it's not going to grow. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning together. We're going to talk about when we should, and we're going to talk about when we should not expect to grow as a church. Remember, it's all about our attitudes this morning as we go over these things. Number one in our notes, I want us to look at, we should not expect to grow if. We should not expect to grow if we think no one wants to hear the gospel anymore. I've heard so many brethren among Christ, and I have to admit, even there's been some times in my life where I've even thought this, and it shouldn't be so. We think, you know, no one wants to hear about God anymore. You know, maybe 50 years ago, there's a lot of people that cared about God. A lot of people that had values, that wanted to go to church, that wanted to read their Bibles. But look in the world we live in today. Nobody cares about God. There's too many shiny objects that we can look at. Too many things to take us away. Why do we even need to try to share the gospel? Nobody cares anymore. Brothers and sisters, I tell us this morning that that type of talk, that type of attitude in our head is just negative towards the lost. When we start feeling that way, that nobody cares, what we're really doing is we're really devaluing souls. That's what we're saying. We're saying that those souls aren't worth hearing the gospel. That they wouldn't care anyway if we tried to share it with them. That kind of thought will get no growth. We can't think that no one wants to hear the gospel. The gospel is there for each and every one of us. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 warns against this, and it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. That says everyone. Not just a few of us. Jesus died for every single one of us. And last time I checked, the word gospel means good news. Good news. You know, two things haven't changed since the first century, since Christianity began after Jesus Christ arose back to be with His Father. The first thing that hasn't changed is people. People are no different today than they were then. Sure, we have more electronics and things for ease of life, but they haven't changed. You know what else hasn't changed? The gospel. Nothing has changed about this. People are still sinners. People are still those that are looking for good news, and they can find it in the Word of God. The Word of God. Let me encourage us not to think this way. You know that there's people outside the world right now that are hurting. There are people that would love nothing more than to hear some good news, to lift them up. You know, you might not know them yet. You might not have seen their face. You might not be friends with them yet, but you know what? It's our job as Christians to go talk to them, to go befriend them, to go share the gospel with them. Don't have a negative attitude and think nobody wants to care. Nobody wants to hear. Take the gospel to them and let them decide. It's not up to us to decide who the gospel is for. It's for everyone. Secondly, this morning, we should not expect to grow as a church if we think that evangelism is the work of the few, but not me. It's not for me. Sometimes I think brethren think that, well, you will grow as a church when you have a good active preacher, when you have an active group of elders. That's when you'll grow. If you don't have the right preacher and the right elders, well, you're never going to grow. And some churches are even lucky enough to think, oh, we're going to grow. We've got a few men that are really excited. And they go out and they have Bible studies all the time. But not everybody. I tell you, brothers and sisters, that's not what growth is all about. It's not just for one person, a few people. It's for every single one of us. Don't think that the work of spreading the gospel is just for a few specialists. I got to admit something to you this morning. As someone that's blessed by God to share the Word of God with others, to stand before you and hopefully lead us in a study to bring us closer to God, something just, it really gets underneath my skin when someone asks me, so what do you do? I'm blessed to be a preacher of the gospel. Oh, okay. So where did you go to school? I don't remember anything in the Bible that says we have to be a specialist to preach the Word. I don't remember anything that says that we have to have certain qualifications, certain certifications from any place on this earth. We just need to be Christians. Evangelism is not the work for some specialist. And when we start thinking that about ourselves, such thinking is at least to negative attitudes towards our own selves as Christians. We start thinking, I can't do anything for the kingdom. What can I do? What can I possibly do? You might think, well, I'll never know enough to teach another person about the Word of God. I don't know enough about the Bible. Well, you know what? The only thing a non-Christian needs to know at the beginning is that Jesus Christ is their Savior, and He died for them, and that they need to repent and stop their sins, be baptized and be saved and live for Him. That's all they need to know to be saved. Everything after that is knowledge you need to continue to learn to grow as an individual Christian. But don't use the excuse, well, I don't know enough of the Bible to share. And don't use the excuse, well, I'm not quite articulate enough. Nobody would really want to hear me. That's not the case. We should not expect to grow if we think this. If many of us are thinking, well, spreading the Word of God is for someone else. Remember Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Acts chapter 8, verse 4 says, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the Word. Acts chapter 8, what's going on here is this is the beginning of the great persecution of the church. Notice what this verse says. There's a persecution. People are fleeing. They're scared for their lives. Notice what it says about all the Christians that fled. It says that they scattered and went everywhere preaching the Word. The Word of God does not say, therefore, those who were scattered and were specialists went everywhere preaching the Word. Those who were evangelists went everywhere preaching the Word. It's just talking about each and every one of us as Christians. Each and every one of us has something that we can do. You don't have to preach a sermon. You don't have to teach a class. You can just simply talk to your friends at work. Talk to your friends while you're hanging out with them. Share with your coworkers. Share with your family that you love them. Jesus Christ loves them. And here is what He has done for you. But we're not going to grow if we think that evangelism is for someone else, but not me. Let me give you a third one. We should not expect to grow if we think I'm the only one in this church who's trying. I've seen it so many times before where, you know, you kind of talk about it after services. Some people, you know, kind of talk behind people's backs and say, well, you know, I was at that last gospel meeting. I was there every single night. Brother so-and-so, he wasn't there. I wish everybody cared about God as much as I did. I wish everybody was trying. You know, I went to go visit Brother so-and-so when he was sick. I took him some food. I ministered to him. I tried to encourage him. Sister so-and-so, she never visits anybody. We can't start thinking about that. When we start thinking that kind of negativity about one another as Christians, that leads to a negative attitude towards our own brothers. Our own brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me encourage you to think this way. Instead of thinking, well, I didn't see brother or sister so-and-so at church. I didn't see them out doing some good works. You don't know what they do behind closed doors. So many people here write letters to encourage people. Write an email, a text message. I know many of you go at home in a quiet place behind closed doors where nobody sees you. And you kneel and you pray to God and you ask Him to be with this work. You ask Him for us to grow. And I thank so many of you that pray for me and my family and ask me to have the strength to preach the gospel. But you know, we don't know those people that are doing those things. We don't know the people that are doing things in quiet. Let us not have an attitude that we're trying to one-up one another as Christians. We start thinking that way, we're not going to grow. You need to remember Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 15 and 16, it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We will begin to grow as a church. We already are grown. We will continue to grow, continue to help people be saved by the Word of God. When we look at this verse and we understand every one of us have a part, and when we come together, that's when we'll continue to grow. Don't think negative thoughts towards your brother, your sister, just because you don't see them doing something. Encourage us not to have these thoughts. Don't think that nobody wants to hear the Word of God. You share it with them and you let them understand what's going on. You let them make the decision if they want to obey it or not. Don't think that, well, the work of evangelism is for just the preacher and a few other people. Nobody want to hear me. Don't think that. Don't think that I'm the only one trying in this church. We don't know what other people are doing behind closed doors. I want to give us this morning ways we should expect to grow. We should expect to grow. Our positive attitudes should continue when we expect answered prayers. I'm going to be turning my Bible to 1 John chapter 5. If you would follow along with me there. 1 John chapter 5. Let's read together verses 14 and 15. 1 John 5, 14 and 15 tells us, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Now, this verse does not tell us that whatever in the world that you want, pray to God and voila, it's going to be there. That's not what it says. I'm sorry. But what it does say is that any time that we pray to God, He hears us and He will answer us. If we expect to grow, we'll expect that when we pray and we ask God to be with our elders, our leaders here, He'll answer that. He'll be with them. He'll help lead. They'll help lead all of us to do the right things for Christ. When we ask Him, Father in heaven, please be with this group of Christians who love You so much. help us to do whatever we can to help reach lost souls. He is just to answer those prayers. He'll help us. He'll help us. Furthermore, besides Him just answering those type of prayers, I want us to look at another thing we need to consider. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you'll please turn with me there. 1 Timothy chapter 2, I want us to read verses 1 through 4. Consider these things as well. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 tells us, "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and givings of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." So many people will use these verses talking about kings and those who are in authority over us, and they'll say, "Well, then we need to pray for another president. I don't agree with what's going on in the White House. I need to pray somebody else is here." That's not what this verse says. This verse says pray for who's in authority right now. We're not talking politics. We're not talking about what we agree and disagree with. This verse is telling us we need to pray for those who lead us. Not only just in America, we need to pray for all leaders around the world, because as this verse tells us, that we want to lead peaceable lives. You know what happens when there's peace in the world? What happens is it's much easier for the Word of God to be spread. In a country where there's leadership that won't allow us to go in and preach the gospel, then the gospel can't be heard. We need to continue to pray that all leaders will help countries be in a place where it'll be peaceable and we can travel and continue to spread the Word of God. All we need to do is just pray. So many of us forget to pray. We might pray before a meal or pray on a Sunday or Wednesday. Prayer is an everyday part of our life. We need to pray for these things. Pray that the Word of God will be spread, and pray that it will be spread everywhere. We should expect to grow when we expect answered prayers. Let me give you a second one. We should expect to grow as a body of Christ when we expect God's Word to work. Do you expect it to work? Not just mentally, but do you expect the Word of God in your heart to go out and do some good? Please turn with me in your Old Testament to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55 verses 10 and 11. I love these two verses. I love them. They tell us exactly what the Word of God does and what it can do for you and me. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." I'll stop there, just noticing what we're talking about. The rain comes down. It doesn't just go back up without doing any good. It comes down and it helps the earth. Verse 11. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Do we expect God's Word to work? This verse says, "It shall not return to me void." It means if you share the gospel with somebody else, what that's saying is it will do good. It'll do good. Now, I'm not saying that every single person that we share the Word of God with is going to obey. That's not the case now. It's not the case in the first century Christians, and it'll never be that case. Not everyone wants to obey the Word of God. But we need to look at the example of the New Testament Christians. What did they do? They didn't stop. Just because somebody tells you no, or somebody disagrees with what you say, you're not to just stop preaching or teaching the Word of God, sharing it with your friends and family. New Testament Christians, it says that they just shook the dust off their feet and they continued on to the next city. What that tells us is that we are to never stop sharing the Word. Never expect it to not do good. If somebody doesn't want to hear it, we just continue on to the next person. We continue to give others the chance to hear the Word of God. We just need to preach and teach. We just need to preach and teach. What do you want to do if you expect to grow as a Christian? You read the Word of God. You continue to gain knowledge. Continue to stand in it. if we expect to grow as a body of Christ, then we just need to tell others about it. Don't think negative thoughts and say that if I give it out, it's going to return void. This verse says it will not. Now, just because someone doesn't obey the gospel as soon as you tell them about what Jesus did, that doesn't mean anything. Maybe the next person will hear them and more good will be done. Don't get discouraged just because someone didn't agree with you the first time they talked to you about it. Continue to preach and teach to them. I'll give you a third one. We should expect to grow as a church, a body of Christ, when we expect the weary to respond. Let's turn our New Testaments to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus Christ gives the great invitation. He talks about those that are lost. He talks about those who are in pain, who are in a sinful state. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus, our Savior, tells us, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." His burden is light. Do we really feel that way? Brothers and sisters, do not envy sinners. So many people as Christians think, there are so many fun things I used to do, but now that I'm a Christian, I can't do that. Don't think that way. Don't think that way. Jesus Christ is not a burden on our shoulders. He lifts the burdens off of us. There's so many in the world today that are living in sin, living in error. But you know what error and sin does? It wears you down. It wears you down. Don't envy those that get to do some things that you might think used to be fun before you were a Christian. Sin wears people down. Maybe not today. Maybe today you know some friends who are out partying and having a good time, getting to do whatever they want to. And that's okay. You know, over time, sin in somebody's life, it wears you down. It makes you have guilt. It makes you regret. It makes you do decisions that maybe 5 years down the road you're thinking, look what I've done. Look what I've done to my life. Look what I've done to my family. Look at all the things, the choices I've made. Look what they've done to everybody around me. We need to expect the weary to respond. Guilt is a heavy load to bear. Shame is a heavy load to bear. And the consequences of painful and past bad decisions are a heavy load to bear. So you know what we need to do? We need to take verses like this that we just read from Jesus, our Savior, and we need to invite others to hear the Word of God. If you don't feel like you're such a good teacher, just invite someone to church. If you know someone who wants a Bible study, wants to learn more about the Word of God, please, please come and tell me. I would love nothing more than to start a Bible study with someone who wants to hear it. The elders would love nothing more than to start a Bible study. Many other people would love nothing better than to help you out since you don't feel like you can teach. And we will be willing and will be happy about setting up a time to reach them, to tell them about the Word of God. We should expect the weary to respond. Not think that they're just sinners and they're never going to care and they're having so much fun. Why would they need the gospel? Sin is a heavy load to bear. But Jesus Christ is there to take that from them. We should expect to grow if we expect the weary to respond. Let me give you one more. We should expect to grow as a body of Christ when we expect God's strength and aid in our good work that we do for Him. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'd like us to read together verses 16 and 17. "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." When we do things for Christ, when we continue to want to spread the gospel, when we continue to want to do good things, it says comfort, that
our good works will be comforted. Our comforted hearts when we do every good word and work. God is there for us.
I realize that there's so many people today that, well, they think, I want to do something for the church, for the body of Christ. I want to go out and do. I want to be a worker, but I'm waiting for that magic silver bullet. I'm waiting for that one program, for someone to tell me, I've heard of this, and you know what? Whenever I do this, people always respond to the gospel. Brothers and sisters, there's not that case. I wish there was. I wish if there was some magic silver bullet that I could walk up to a non-Christian and boom, now you're a Christian. But it's just not the case. So we can't just wait around. We can't wait to work until we hopefully find that one be-all that'll help someone be a Christian. That's just not the case. But what we need to do is we just need to simply get to work. Whatever plan that we have, as a growing and new vibrant church, we're constantly thinking of what's a way we can reach the community around us. As the elders continue to tell us things that we can do as we come up with new ways, I encourage us, just work the plan. Whatever it is that we decide to do, let's just all get together and work. If it doesn't work, well then we'll find a new one next time and we'll try that. But work the plan. Don't just wait around for something that you think might happen later. Just work the plan. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. One of my favorite verses in the Bible because it reminds me every time that I think somebody doesn't care. Or that why didn't somebody want to respond? I think of this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writes, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I mean, just work the plan. When it says I planted, that means he shared the Word of God with someone. But they didn't respond immediately. But you know what? This other Christian named Apollos, he came and he continued to teach them. You know what happened after that? God gave the increase and they responded. They became Christians. They wanted to hear. You know what that means to us? That means that we simply need to work. Lying around and hoping that somebody else will preach the gospel. Sitting around and hoping that your family member, your friend at work, your friend you hang out with on the weekend, hoping that somebody else will tell them, that's not going to work. So many people are afraid to share the gospel because they're, well, I don't want to ruin a relationship there. You know, they don't really care. I don't want to start a fight. Maybe my friend won't hang out with me anymore if I try to share the gospel. Well, that's not up for you to decide. Share the Word of God. They might not respond today, but somebody else in the future might continue to teach, or they might continue to think about it, and they might get in the Word of God, and then you know what happens next? God gives the increase, and they obey. We just need to work, brothers and sisters. Do you expect to grow? Individually, this morning, do you expect to grow as a church? I don't mean that we all think or that we all know because, yeah, I'm a Christian. I know, Adam, if I went out there and, you know, God tells me, if I share the Word of God with someone, that they're supposed to respond. I'm not saying that in your mind you think that. Do you believe it in your heart? Do you believe that if you got to work and we all work together as a team of Christians, that people would actually respond? It's all about attitude. Remember those examples I gave about sports analogies and those self-help groups? We have to have a positive attitude. We have to know that if we give the Word of God, it will not return to us void. Brothers and sisters, I give an invitation right now that God gives each and every one of us every single day. The invitation is for those of us who are Christians. Sometimes we fall, that's what it's about. Christians aren't perfect. Sometimes we do things we know we're not supposed to. But as we were talking about today, we need to expect that if we come back to God, He's right there waiting for us. He's there to take us in with open arms and love us and cleanse us of any sin in our life. Expect that. Know that if you're a Christian and you're wayward, come to Him right now, He'll cleanse everything. Expect that because it's true. If you're not a child of God this morning, if you have not yet obeyed the gospel, you have not repented away from your sin, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and been baptized for the remission of your sin. Expect it. Expect that as soon as you do that, your sins are gone. The Bible tells us that. Brothers and sisters, friends this morning, if we can help you in any way, every one of us here in this room today, they're Christians, we love nothing more than to help you get right with God. If we can help you in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and as we sing. Won't you come?